Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
From Heritage Radio and Thrillist, it's Serial, a podcast about serial. I'm Ben Robinson, editorial director of Thrillist, the website that tells you where to eat cereal, and also every other food ever, in more than 30 cities around the cereal mag globe. Now, we've had some really fantastic guests on cereal over the course of this inaugural season. We've had the world's finest competitive eater hyphen rapper. We've had a 30-something-year-old man who is absolutely insane for grape nuts, and was actually sent a Grape Nuts poncho from Grape Nuts after his episode aired. But today's guest is probably the one I'm most excited about of them all. She's an acclaimed cookbook author. She's written for Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, and Vogue, none of which I've written for yet, somehow. And perhaps most prominently, she was the restaurant critic for a little local rag called The New York Times for 8 years, spanning the 70s and 80s, Mimi Sheridan. Mimi, how's it going?
Just lovely. Very happy to be here back in my home borough.
Back in Brooklyn. We're very extremely glad to have you. It's a little bit rainy, but you made your way over here.
Right.
So what have you been up to recently? Obviously, your life is pretty full, but what's new?
Well, the newest thing is my latest book called 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. It took 10 years to do. It obviously has more than 1,000 things, although it's 1,000 entries. It spans all countries and regions of the world. And it is, I guess, my idea of a pretty final bucket list.
So this is what you, after 1,000 foods, what do? Do you just kind of keel over?
I think probably that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Depending on the rate at which you consumed them and found them.
Right.
You'd have to do a lot of traveling, too.
Of course. But after that point, it's okay.
Right.
So in 1,000 foods, there's obviously a lot of different sections. Some are very, you know, serious food. Some are a little more playful. I really love the pigs in a blanket section. I learned quite a bit from that one. There's one on Oreos. And the first time I flipped through, I was saying to myself, hey, there's no cereal section. I looked in the index to start, and then I started leafing through, and there wasn't a cereal section. And then I noticed there wasn't a Lucky Charms section or anything like that. But there are some cereal sections that are a little different.
Well, there are cereal entries, usually categorized by the country in which they are most prevalent, including some that we call foods of the world that just appear all over. But there are separate entries for a number of cereals, such as Wheatina, oatmeal, cornmeal, or polenta by either name. There's an entry on kasha, which I think is a cereal. I don't know what the actual definition, but it is a grass, buckwheat, so I think that qualifies. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the book, there are entries where cereal plays a part, where it might be a side dish to, for example, shrimp and grits.
Okay, yeah.
Would be shrimp and cornmeal. And when I was growing up in Brooklyn, on very, very snowy mornings, my mother would announce as she awoke my brother and me, it's a hot cereal morning, which meant she had one of many different kinds of cereal, which she stocked. cooking to get us off to a good start before school. And there was a whole sort of wardrobe of cereals in those days. Some we liked more than others. I never liked the white ones. I never liked cream of wheat or semolina. I thought that looked too pale. But I liked very much most of the others. And those I'm talking about now are hot cereals, mm-hmm. not the cold cereals, which was not the thing for winter.
No, absolutely not. So something that we talked about a little bit before the show, but just I know that, you know, we look like we went to high school together, but in fact, you're a little bit older than me, even though you couldn't tell.
Thank heavens it's not television.
But over your life, you've seen cereal evolve, and a lot of the cereals that we're familiar with. Last week was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and that was around since 1950, which was a little shocking to me. It seems like a newer thing. Obviously, you know, Corn Flakes and Frosted Flakes have been around almost since the turn of the century. So
I don't remember, and this may just be not remembering, but I don't remember sugared cereals when I was growing up. They were what we call dry cereal, cold cereal. But I don't remember them being sugared or in any way flavored. There were corn flakes and there were corn pops and big shredded wheat, not spoon size. It was a big biscuit, which you can still mm-hmm. get. I think maybe around the 50s or 60s, and I'm taking a guess, there were a lot of sugared cereals and colored cereals like Fruit Loops. I remember when my son was growing up, I would occasionally buy an assortment of small packs that came together, but I always threw out those that were sugar-coated.
The old Fruit Loop, eight little boxes
that you can open
the top up.
Yeah, and so I never served those to him, and I never ate those. But the only cold cereal I really like now is spoon-sized shredded wheat, which is convenient.
So you wouldn't dare go Frosted Mini Wheats?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
Have you ever had any of these sugary cereals at any point, just a taste?
Yeah, well, occasionally in a diner or on a traveling, and you go into one of those diners, that may be all they have.
That's the best thing for you.
I've had it, but I just don't have that sweet taste in the morning. When I eat hot cereal, I don't eat it with sugar. In our house, and my husband, my late husband, was Italian, in his house growing up too, the cereals were always butter, salt, and pepper, mm-hmm. not sweet and not cooled down or liquefied with milk. Just more in the style of a thick polenta. And that is still the way I prefer them.
I think maybe it's because a lot of those cereals, they take a little work. You can't just dump it out of the box.
No, I buy the old-fashioned long cooking. But long cooking now for Quaker Oats, for example, mm-hmm. says 5 minutes. It really takes about 7 or 8. But if you buy Irish oatmeal, steel cut, that... Some people cook all night long over a low flame.
So you leave it on overnight?
Yeah, huh. Yeah, which I would not do.
No, that sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Can you put it in a crock pot?
I suppose you could.
Yeah.
But if to consider a Quaker Oats 5 to 8 minutes, old-fashioned long cooking is really funny compared to the steel-cut Irish oatmeal.
Right. It's short, long cooking.
I think, excuse me, I have heard that... sales of hot cereals have gone down a great deal, and there's certainly much less space given to them in supermarkets.
Oh, definitely. And actually, sales of all cereals are going down right now, and there's a bit of a crisis, which this show is trying to turn it right around, turn an entire industry around.
Yes, I don't know why it isn't given to children anymore, but I suppose Pop-Tarts and frozen waffles and some of those things have taken precedence.
Mm-hmm. So, as you know, every week the guest picks the cereal, and this week's choice it's a little different than some that we've requested in the past. Obviously, and it's less sugary. It's the smallest cereal box that I've ever seen in my life. And from what I can tell, or actually, as we know, it did get a section in 1,000 Foods, and that cereal is...
Wheatina. My... Shall we spell it slowly?
Yeah, let's spell it.
Wheatena. Wheatina.
Correct. yeah, actually, I've known and I've been looking forward to this interview for, I mean, maybe 3 months, at least two now. And in all the emails that we've been exchanging, I thought this stuff was called Wheatney for the entire time until somebody saw this box on my desk today and said, oh, Wheatina, like, what the hell is that? And I was like, well, it's Wheatney, first of all. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, my God.
It has.
I'm dyslexic for at least one cereal.
It's the only one I haven't found on my supermarket shelf. I understand there is a store on the Upper West Side that carries it. The only place I've seen it is on Amazon, where you have to buy something like 12 boxes or 6 boxes, which would last me 6 winters. It has a wonderful aroma when it's cooking. It really goes up the whole house and all, just nutty, warm, lovely, and it has a very nice gritty texture. It's not at all mawkish like some hot cereals can be. And if you cook more than you need, which is a wise thing to do, you can chill it in a flat dish and cut it in squares and fry it in butter the next morning.
Whoa, okay.
And that is delicious, especially with crisp bacon.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Actually, I think that was in the book, too, and it really... I mean, look, the reason I started this is the love of a lot of the cereals that you've never had, and I'm a little bit skeptical of
What are the cereals I've never had?
I mean, Lucky Charms, or Cap'n Crunch, yeah. Or, you know, a lot of, like, when I talk to people about this show, that's where their mind goes, and your mind goes somewhere a little different. But, yeah, being able to fry this up and eat it with some bacon is kind of...
it's like grits.
Okay. Yeah, it's like grits.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic. As you said, it's very tough to find. When you start typing Wheatina into Google, the number one search that pre-populates is, where can I find Wheatina? Which tells me that it's basically impossible to find Wheatina. But also, there are some people looking for Wheatina, so...
And Amazon is selling it, so somebody must be buying it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I had to, in the end, get a dozen boxes of this stuff from Amazon.
Well, you're going to give me one.
I'm going to give you one, and we'll see how they go, you know, around the office in my apartment. But there might end up with 11 more.
There are other old cereals that are back on shelves. I've seen Cream of Wheat in the D'Agostino's market, and I've noticed online a very old cereal that we used to like as kids called Maltex, which is like it's a paler, softer wheat cereal, paler and softer than Wheatina, and has a malty flavor. There was another one called Ralston that was also a ground wheat. I haven't heard of that in many years, made by Ralston Purina, who I now think make only dog food or something. Dog
yeah, they definitely do that.
But not Wheatina, and I just think that someone could start a fashion for it. There are now ancient grains are very much in the
limelight.
That's
when Kellogg's is actually making a big ancient grains push. They're splashing ancient grains all over the boxes.
Well, I'll have to revise.
It's a new line coming out, yeah.
I'll have to revise 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die when I taste it.
1,001.
Yeah.
So, yeah, currently it is owned by Homestat Farm. It's actually been moved around, which is one of the amazing things about the cereal is that about 7 different brands have owned the Wheatina brand over, you know, whatever it is, 100 and since 1879. I can't do math.
That may be the company that also does Cream of Wheat and Maltex. There is a company that has...
I don't think it is, actually. I didn't recognize any of the other cereals that they produce. It's a very, very small kind of family brand that bought it up, I want to say, 10 or 15 years ago.
What is the name of the company?
It's called Homestat Farm.
I'll have to go online and see what else they have. Maybe
Dublin, Ohio.
Well, that's a good place.
Yeah, it's a great place.
For cereal.
So one of the things that I found extremely interesting, again, from 1,000 Foods is between 1935 and 1936 for 87 episodes, Popeye, that spinach-mad sailor, dropped his trademark leafy greens and instead derived his power from Wheatina, saying, "Wheatina's me diet. I ax you to try it. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot." So the second part was, you know, pretty standard. They didn't work that, but that's big. They bought the whole show for 2 years.
Yeah, well, there was a very famous series that kids listened to every evening around 5:30 for Wheaties, and that was Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. And he had a theme song, "Have You Tried Wheaties?" And he would sing this whole, it was "Raise the Flag for Hudson High," and he was a football champ, and he ate Wheaties. And Wheaties has very cleverly defined itself as the breakfast of champions. Mm-hmm. And they also put sports figures on the boxes. And I think that has lasted. That's a cold cereal, but a wheat cereal. And every kid listened to Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, eating Wheaties mm-hmm. 5 o'clock every weekday.
There are no sports champions on the Wheatina box, unfortunately. There's a sun over a pasture, and it says 25% more fiber than the leading brand of hot cereal.
What would that be?
I don't know.
Oatmeal, maybe.
Well, I wonder what specific brand it is. I always find these kind
of
funny.
It would be Quaker. It would be Quaker oatmeal.
Okay, yeah.
Quaker oatmeal.
Right, yeah, it has to be. But
oats have had a very good publicity in terms of lowering cholesterol. Mm-hmm. You know, even Cheerios, which are oats, have advanced the notion that they reduce cholesterol. So
oh, good.
I
had some this morning.
Well, then your cholesterol is very low.
Thank
Have a pound of butter.
Got to even it out. So normally on cereal, We taste the cereal dry, we pour a bowl, we put some milk in it. This is a little different cereal. I actually thought I had it all figured out. I went and got one of those electric kettles that you can heat water up with really quickly. But as we were talking before the show, I realized that I am a total idiot with hot cereal. And you need to boil this stuff with water for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, says on the box. You said maybe more like 8 or 10, but...
Well, by the time the water comes to the boil, and mm-hmm. then it boils 5, 6, depending if you've used too much water and it's too liquid, you take the cover off and let it simmer down till the water evaporates. If you think it's too thick, you might want to stir a little extra water in and give it a few more minutes, so...
Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to do any of those things.
But fortunately, we're on radio, so no one can
see
that
go.
We don't have.
Okay. It's a little unfortunate. It's going to be the first time on cereal that we haven't actually eaten cereal. It's possible that I could just crack this thing open and just pour it down my throat dry, but...
You might choke.
Yeah, it's probably not the best idea, and it would make it a little more difficult for you to take home this extremely impossible to find box of Wheatina. So
if you have 11 more boxes at home, you have plenty of opportunity to try it.
I'm going to have to get after it and report back. So while I sit over here really upset with myself and frankly more upset with Shane the milk boy, because I think that, you know, he didn't really give this box a good enough look, and he's responsible for a lot of things around here, and he screws them, every single one of them, up. And
why do you keep him?
Well, you know, I'd say a family friend, except I'm not even sure that he personally has any friends, Shane. But you know, it's somewhere deep down inside, he's a good kid. And if we can turn him around, nobody's ever asked that before, by the way, people just accept it that Shane's a mess. Yeah, again, while I sit over here being a little upset with myself and Shane, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some more cereal featuring Mimi Sheridan and Wheatina.
And again, the break song is "Meeting at the Docks" by Rectech. We'll be right back.
T
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Hey, Jack Inslee here, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network. I hope today's show has got you craving some cereal, and as we all know, and as we've probably mentioned on today's show, good cereal is nothing without milk. Real milk. Cow's milk is not only giving you high-quality, complete protein, but calcium, other nutrients, all the stuff you need to build a healthy body. Turns out, most American adults are not consuming enough vitamin D every day, so adding just one serving of milk helps address that nutrient gap. Other ways to get your daily intake of milk? Yogurt has milk. Ice cream has milk. Butter has milk. Cheese has milk. It's not rocket science. Drink your milk. Real milk, cow's milk, or maybe chocolate milk. This is a show about cereal. Cereal goes great with milk. Milk is good for you. I think you get the point. And for more fun facts and information, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
And now it's time for your weekly cereal news brief. Welcome to the Cereal News Brief, your indispensable update on the shocking amount of cereal news that happens every 7 days in this crazy world of ours. Since we're talking about some pretty damn old cereal today, I figured it would be a grand opportunity to read a classic cereal news brief from 1940, which most listeners know was this podcast's third season. Quote, George Campbell, a 16-year-old Berlin high school student who got his flying instructions from a cereal box, was charged with larceny of a $1,350 monoplane from the Bishopville Airport. Chef William Hall said the youth never got the small ship owned by Manson Warrington off the ground. Luckily, a wing was damaged as he pulled the plane from its hangar. Hall said Campbell, son of a nearby farmer, had never been in an airplane before. The boy told me that he read the flying instructions on the outside of a box of cereal, Hall said. So I actually refused for some reason to look up where this was, but obviously it's, you know, it sounds like somewhere in the Midwest where this kid looked at a box of cereal. Somebody was wise enough to put the instructions on a box of cereal and how to fly an airplane. Kid thought it was a great idea, and this is probably the main reason why they took off the instructions for how to make nuclear weapons at home off the back of boxes of Fruit Loops. crazy 1940. Up next, back in the wonderful present day in which we have incredibly simple mazes on the back of our cereal boxes, cereal is responsible for terrifying, gigantic, monster person Jeremy Clarkson being fired by the BBC for his longtime job as host of the ever-popular car show Top Gear, somewhat. Recently, Clarkson, who has been hosting the show for an astounding 27 years, came down into the lobby of a UK hotel at 10 a.m., only to find that the electricity had been turned off due to a maintenance issue and that he would not be able to eat a hot breakfast. One of the staff members said, well, in that case, he'll have to have Weetabix. A statement which would enrage anybody, really, except maybe for Mimi. All this followed an incident in which Clarkson didn't get a hot dinner of steak and chips at a different hotel, which led him to verbally and physically abuse one of the Top Gear producers, which then led to him being fired. So the lesson is Weetabix and other British cereals that are kind of gross and look like McDonald's hash browns made of grains will eventually cause all of us to lose our tempers and subsequently our jobs. And that was your weekly cereal news brief. Mimi, are you a big Top Gear fan?
A what?
Top Gear?
I'm afraid not.
No? It's a show about very fast cars on the BBC. It's actually a fantastic show.
Don't listen to that. Okay. Not a car buff.
Okay. Well, probably the opposite of very...
Can't drive. I'm a New Yorker.
have you ever... You've driven before, surely,
long,
at some
long.
Point.
Not in 56 years.
Wow.
But they keep renewing my license.
No questions asked?
No. Just fill out the form. Note for my eye doctor.
Yeah, there you go.
Every 10 years or something.
Just in case.
Good ID.
So probably the opposite of fast cars... or books. You are actually going to be doing a session at the upcoming Food Book Fair in Brooklyn, which is Brooklyn Food Book Fair, April 10th through 12th. So
right.
what's going
to
be going on there?
April 11th, we'll be talking about my book, 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. We'll be doing tastings of some of the things that are in the book and all sorts of excellent writers of food books will be represented there on different programs for the 3 days.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, being a Brooklyn native.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice to be doing something in my own borough other than eating Nathan's hot dogs at Coney Island.
How often do you do that?
As often as I can. More in good weather. I love the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I used to go out regularly in winter and walk the boardwalk. I did a big piece for the New York Times many years ago for the weekend section on the boardwalk in winter, which
Ooh.
Is a very special time.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Please do. It's in the archives.
Fantastic. So one of your favorite quotes from mine, which I forget exactly what interview it was, but you said that there were several cases when you were at the Times where you gave negative reviews to particular restaurants, and they took out enormous full-page ads in the Times to refute the reviews. And the Times editor said to you, "We make more money when you give a negative review than when you give a positive review."
That's exactly
right. I love this story.
They just always did it. Full-page ads that cost, I don't know how much,
mm-hmm.
maybe $10,000 in those days, maybe $30,000 now. I'm not sure, but it just kept happening. And if a restaurant got a good review, they might take a little ad, but the bad reviews got the full pages.
Mm-hmm.
To say nothing of a few lawsuits.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What happened? Give me a good
Nothing.
One.
Nothing. They all
fizzled?
Fizzled because it was the New York Times, and it's an opinion. And I believe the Supreme Court said there's no such thing as a wrong opinion. So I was very careful often to couch the criticism as an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed as though, you know, I thought that's an opinion, not a fact. So we were pretty well protected. And anyway, at the Times, lawyers read it before anything goes to press. I'm sure they still do that.
Well, their lawyers are probably better than the restaurants.
I'm sure.
As an opinionated person, which cereals would you maybe give a negative review so they might advertise on this podcast?
Cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat?
Semolina and cream of wheat.
Can't do
I
it,
can't
huh?
I can't stand them. It's like for old people who have no teeth, you know, or if you're in a hospital recuperating, they're so pale. There are other uses for semolina that I do like. There are very good semolina gnocchi
Ooh.
That are made in Rome. That's a delicious way to use it. And in German, they make Semmelknödel, which are dumplings made of semolina. And those are very good. But just plain white in a bowl is just too pale for me in the morning. I always preferred, of the fine grain cereals, cornmeal.
Mm-hmm. So I want to hit on this a little bit. And this is something that's come up a bunch of times on this show. And again, from cold cereal fans, let's say, are the ones who feel one way about it. And you probably feel a different way. It's actually kind of amazing that in your book, 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, every cereal in there is a hot cereal for the most part, right?
I think that's true. I don't think I have shredded wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't have cornflakes. So I guess there is no cold cereal as an entry. That may be, I'm not sure, mentioned with a certain fruit, like maybe blueberries or a banana, but I wouldn't swear to that. It's odd, but when you say cereal, I think hot cereal.
So a lot of the guests that we have on the show think the exact opposite. It's
right.
Cold cereal, and then the question has become,
it may be generational.
Is hot cereal cereal? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think the grain is cereal, but when someone says, you know, do you eat cereal for breakfast, I think hot cereal, even though I may have had shredded wheat. If I think about it a little, I suppose I would say shredded wheat, but I love mm-hmm. hot cereal. And by the way, most instructions on the backs of hot cereal boxes call for much more water than I like.
Oh, yeah? This is...
I use less water than they call for.
This is 1 cup per serving.
1 cup of what?
1 cup of water.
And how much cereal?
It doesn't really say.
It must.
Salt. Wheatina. 1/3 cup.
1/3 cup of Wheatina to 1 cup. I would use 1/2 cup of Wheatina to 1 cup of water. If I needed to trickle in a little more water, I would do that.
1/8 of a teaspoon of salt. How do you feel about that?
I never measure. I just put in salt.
Just pop in that salt.
Yeah.
And how much butter? That was actually something I was wondering about.
On an average
stick of butter that we're also not going to eat.
Cereal bowl, I would probably have 2 teaspoons of butter.
Okay.
Unsalted butter. Stirred in. It's just lovely. I'm sort of getting hungry now. I'm going to take home that box of Wheatina and have some tomorrow morning.
How long do you think so for the listeners out there who can't see this box? I would say it's probably about the exact same size as your book, actually.
I think it's thinner. It's thinner than 1,000 foods to eat before you die. The height and width might be the same.
Yeah, so
it's thickness. And I don't think it weighs 2.5 pounds, which is what the book weighs.
No, not quite. I'd say that this is maybe half the size of a normal, traditional box of cold cereal.
Oh, of cold?
Of Apple Jacks.
But cold cereal boxes are usually half empty. I think that's what bothers people, the price. The box is big, but the cereal never fills the box in the cold cereal.
Well, I think it comes somewhat close, but there's also, I think it's a size and surface area question. So these are very small and kind of fit next to each other, whereas... a thing of Kix or something. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of air. But how long will this box last you for?
That box would last me 1 winter.
1 winter.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't have it every day. I might have oatmeal. Mm-hmm. I might have eggs. I might have steak. I might have a hot dog. So
this is all for breakfast. That's
all
a big
for
breakfast, Mimi.
Well, I don't have them all at the same breakfast. But if I had some leftover steak or chicken from the night before, mm-hmm. I like that for breakfast with a toasted English muffin.
You are enlightened.
I suppose so.
And I guess it doesn't go stale, probably.
Oh, yes. whole grain cereals can become rancid. You have to be careful of that. If you have it more than a season, it's a very good idea to sniff it because it has oil in it and it can definitely become rancid.
You could probably tell.
Especially wheat.
One sniff will tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And oddly, I believe it's better to keep it in the box. I think the boxes are in some way treated. I pour it into a nice glass jar because I'm not going to keep it too long, but I have a feeling it's better to keep it in the box.
Well, for all the listeners that are about to take up a crippling Wheatina habit after listening to this, this is extremely useful information.
Well, try it. They'll love it. And make a lot so you can fry it the next morning with bacon.
It's beautiful. So I wish we could talk forever, but unfortunately we're going to get... They could kick us out of here at some point, which is horrible.
Well,
but
it's been fun. It's been one of my favorite topics, so it's easy to talk about.
This is great. So every week we like to wrap up with something called the Highly Crucial Cereal Questionnaire. It's just a bunch of questions, and hopefully you give a bunch of answers. So let's start off with the big one, and I think that you might have half answered this, but I'd love to hear a definitive one. We already know your favorite cereal, Wheatina. What's your least favorite cereal? What cereal
cream
do
of wheat.
Absolutely despise? Cream of
cream
wheat.
Cream of wheat and all sugared cold cereals.
You're going against everything that I believe in, but that's cool because it's an opinion. I promise I won't sue you. Next question is, what kind of milk do you use on your cereal? But I feel like that's also not a great question.
On cold cereal, I use 1/2 and 1/2.
Whoa.
On hot cereal, I don't use any milk. But I like 1/2 and 1/2 on shredded wheat. Has a little more body because the milk I keep is skim milk, and that's a little watery for cereal.
Love it. So the next three are kind of interesting. I don't know if you have as much familiarity with cereal mascots from boxes as some of our guests, but these are the rules. I have to ask you these questions, so we're going to do them. Just let me know if you're confused at all. If you could get bottle service at a fancy nightclub with one cereal mascot, who would it be and why? So you're at a nightclub and you get, you know, the bottle of vodka costs $1 million and...
And I need a cereal mascot?
You're hanging out with, like, the Trix Rabbit or something like that.
Popeye?
Yeah. The Wheatina mascot.
The Wheatina mascot.
Oh, my God. He's going to get all the girls with those muscles. What about an Eagles concert? If you were going with a cereal mascot to an Eagles concert.
I don't even know what the Eagles are.
Neither did our guest last week.
I guess an eagle.
Okay. Yeah, there should be one of those. And the last one of these absolutely ridiculous questions. If you were having your birthday party at the roller rink where you go roller skating, and it was also a cereal mascot's birthday party, who would you want a birthday party with?
Oh,
Who would be fun?
I think who would be fun? Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. Absolutely.
From my background, and I'm trying to think of Heckle and Jekyll, but those are two. Do you know Heckle and Jekyll?
Yeah, of course.
Magpies?
Uh-huh.
Well, they might be fun because they talk a lot.
There's some real wise asses, those guys. Enough of these mascot questions. Who do you think deserves to be on a Wheaties box but hasn't ever been on a Wheaties box?
Somebody handsome and wonderful. Who might
Are you talking
that,
about me?
Well, maybe. I wish they could see you. I don't know. Who do I like very much in the movies? Tommy Lee Jones I like a lot.
I would love to see Tommy Lee Jones on a Wheaties box.
He might agree. He's, you know, a pretty gutsy guy.
Exactly. And every week, the last question, when is the last time before just now, even though we didn't actually eat the cereal, that you've had a bowl of cereal, and what was it?
It was oatmeal, and it was about 10 days ago. Quaker, old-fashioned oats. About 10 days ago. You know, we've had a very stormy, snowy winter, so hot cereals in the morning were very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so long ago, and it was Quaker oatmeal.
Fantastic. Well, look, Mimi, this was an absolute joy. Thank you so much for coming out here to Brooklyn on this rainy day.
It was fun. My pleasure.
All right. Everybody, check out Mimi at the Food Book Fair in Brooklyn, April 10th through 12th. Obviously, get her book, 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. It really is. It's a truly wonderful book. I'm pretty much only through the American section. I was digging for cereal
Lots of cereal over the last week. But in the British section, there's quite a lot of cereal
and
the Italian. Ways to use polenta.
Beautiful. Well, look, thank you one more time for coming out. And we'll see everybody next week with a little more cereal. Check us out on iTunes. 5 o'clock on Heritage every Wednesday. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.